Time and the Conways by J.B. Priestley.
Oh, yes, marvelous. Carol, in the back room. Don't let them come in, will you, Mother?
I found the box. All the false whiskers and things in.
I knew it hadn't been thrown away.
Oh, no, you dare throw it away. Look.
Let's see.
Don't snatch.
Oh, I must look, mustn't I, idiot?
Oh, bag's eye, this moustache.
Oh, and this one.
Oh, all right, but don't take all the good ones, Hazel. Kay and Matt will want some. I think Kay ought to have first choice. After all, it's her birthday, and you know how she adores charades. Oh, Mother won't want any of these because she'd rather look Spanish or Russian or something. What are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning.
Mr. Pennyman. You know Hazel at the paper shop. Oh, do Mr. Pennyman, Hazel. Go on.
I couldn't, Carol. I'd only seen him about twice. I never go to the paper shop.
Alan, come in and don't let the others see. Isn't she exactly like Mr. Pennyman at the paper shop, the one who hates Lloyd George?
She is a bit.
No, I hate Lloyd George.
No, he doesn't talk like that, Hazel.
Not the least little bit. He says, I tell you what it is, Miss Gumway, that there Lloyd George, they're going to be sorry they ever put him where they did see.
Yes, that's him. Very good, Carol.
I think I ought to be an actress. They said at school I was the best Shylock they'd ever had.
You can have this moustache if you like, Carol.
Oh, are you sure you don't want it? Perhaps I could wear this and do Mr. Pennyman. Or couldn't we bring him into the third syllable somehow instead of a general? I think we've had enough of generals.
We have. Ask Kay to work in Mr. Pennyman instead.
Oh, Kay ought to be here now, planning everything. Oh, tell her and Madge to come in, Alan.
Right, I will.
Look at this dress. Could you believe people ever wore such ridiculous things?
I can just remember Mother in that, can't you?
Of course I can, infant.
That coat was Daddy's, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe he wore it that very holiday.
Perhaps we ought to put it away.
Oh, I don't think Mother would mind now.
Yes, she would. And I know I would. I don't want anybody to dress up and be funny in the coat Father wore just before he was drowned. I wonder if it's very horrible being drowned.
Oh, don't start that all over again, Carol. Just when we're having some fun. Why do you?
I don't know. But don't you often feel like that? Just when everything is very jolly and exciting, I suddenly think of something awfully serious. Sometimes horrible. Like Dad drowning.
I'm not listening. I'm not listening.
It happens to Kay, too. So it must be in the family. A bit.
You found them?
Yes.
Good.
Oh, has Gerald Thornton arrived?
As a matter of fact, he has. A few minutes ago.
I knew it. I could see it in your eye, Madge.
Don't be absurd. He's brought another man with him, a new client of his who's desperately anxious to know this family.
So he ought to be. Nice.
Very much a little businessman, I should think.
Is he a profiteer like the ones in Punch?
He looks as if he might be someday. His name's Ernest Beavers.
Oh, what a silly name. I'm sorry for his wife. If he has one.
I gather he hasn't. Oh, look here. We ought to be starting. Kate, we ought to be starting.
No, the others are coming.
Oh, I've forgotten the word.
Hazel, you're the limit, and we spent hours working it out.
I didn't. Only you and Kay. Just because you fancy yourselves as budding authoresses and actresses.
The word, idiot, is pussyfoot. Puss, see, foot. Them, the whole word.
I think four scenes are too many.
They'll easily guess it.
That doesn't matter. It makes them happy if they guess it.
The great thing is to dress up.
I'm ready if you are. Let me see.
Ah, here they are. Now, I shall be a Spanish beauty.
What did I tell you?
What did you tell her, darling?
I told Kay, whatever she arranged, you'd insist on doing your Spanish turn.
Well, why not?
It doesn't come into the scenes I'd thought of, that's all.
Oh, you can easily arrange that, dear. You are so clever.
Right, Kay. What do we do? Oh, the first scene, Puss, is an old lady who's lost her cat. She's really a kind of witch.
I'm to be the old lady.
Mother, you and Hazel are her two daughters who are visiting her.
Yes, dear. I'll be the Spanish daughter.
She didn't have a Spanish daughter, but I suppose it doesn't matter.
Not in the least. Nobody cares. And then I think I'd better not appear in the other, because I suppose you'll be wanting to sing afterwards.
Of course. But I put you down for two more. Oh, Madge and Joan Helford will have to do those.
Right. What a pity Robin isn't here. You know, Kay, he wrote and said he might be demobbed any day now. It seems such a shame to miss your party. And Robin loves parties. He's like me. Your father never cared for them much. Suddenly, right in the middle, just when everything was getting going, he'd want to be quiet and take me into a corner and ask me how much longer people were staying, just when they were beginning to enjoy themselves. I never could understand that.
I can. I've often felt like that.
Oh, but why, dear? Why? It isn't sensible. If you're having a party, you're having a party.
Do you think that sometimes, in a mysterious sort of way, he knew?
Knew what, dear? Oh, look at Hazel. Doesn't she look rather sweet?
Knew what? Knew what was going to happen to him.
You have the most extraordinary ideas. You must try and put some of them into your book. Are you happy, darling?
Yes, Mother, very happy.
That's all right, then. I want you to have a lovely birthday. I feel we can all be happy again now. Now that this horrible war's all over and people are sensible again. And Robin and Alan are quite safe.
Alan, tell them we're beginning. And it's 3 syllables.
Right.
Come on, Joan. Get yourself something to wear.
I think you will look marvellous. I'm rotten at this, you know, Kay. Don't say I didn't warn you.
I'm sure you'll be fine, Joan. Now then, Carol, you start. And remember, only say puss once. Mother and Hazel, don't you two say it. Only Carol.
Now, where are my two daughters? Where are they?
Oh, Mr. Peter, that hat of yours, Mother.
No, Carol.
Now then, you three. The next syllable is S-Y, so I thought it wouldn't be cheating too badly if we called that Psy, you know, Cockney. I sigh, Bert. So this is an East End scene. Madge, you're the old mother.
Yes, I remembered.
What am I? I forget.
You're Bert. Just put something silly on.
I thought Robin was coming home soon.
He is.
He's an officer, isn't he? You weren't an officer, were you, Alan?
No, I was a lance corporal. One stripe, you know. Nothing at all.
Didn't you want to be anything better than that?
No.
Alan has no ambition at all, have you, my pet?
Not much.
If I were a man, I'd want to be very important. What are you doing now, Alan? Somebody said you were at the town hall.
I am. In the rate office. Just a clerk, you know.
Isn't it dull?
Yes.
Alan never minds being dull. I believe he has tremendous long adventures inside his head that nobody knows anything about.
Hazel says you started to write another novel, Kay, have you?
Yes.
I don't know how you can. I mean, I think I'd be all right once I'd got started properly, but I can't see how you start. What did you do with the last one?
Burnt it.
Why?
It was putrid.
Wasn't that an awful waste of time?
Yes, I suppose so.
Still, look at the time you and I waste, Joan.
Oh, no, I'm always doing something. Even though I haven't to go to the canteen anymore, I'm always busy. Why'd you laugh, Madge?
Oh, can't a girl laugh?
You always did laugh at me, Madge. I suppose because I'm not clever like you.
Oh, well, you can imagine what happened.
Mother lets herself go, and of course it becomes all Spanish. I don't believe they'll ever remember hearing Puss mentioned. What are you supposed to be, Joan?
Sort of Costa girl.
You look a sort of general mess. Okay. Carol wants to do Mr. Penniman at the paper shop instead of a general for the third syllable.
How can she? If it's soldiers drilling, you can't have Mr. Penniman. Unless we make him another soldier and get Gerald Thornton or somebody to be a general.
Mother's still on. Oh, golly, it's baking being an old witch.
Do you insist on being Mr. Penniman in the third syllable?
Oh, I'd forgotten that. Oh, yes, please do let me be Mr. Penniman, Kay, my lamb, my love, my precious.
All right, but you'll have to be a soldier. Just joined up, you see?
Well, clearly, that was very silly. Well, they seem to enjoy it, and that's the great thing. I thought you were very good, Carol.
Now, come on, Madge. Alan, Joan.
Honestly, Kay, I'd be awful.
No, I'm sure you won't.
It doesn't matter. You've nothing to do. Now then, Madge.
Now then, Bert.
Mother, Joan did stay in London last week, and she went to 3 theatres.
She has relatives there, and we haven't. That makes a great difference.
Aren't we ever going?
Yes, of course. Perhaps Robin will take us. I mean, just you and me, when he comes back. It says in the paper this morning that we must all get on with our jobs. This mere rush for amusement has gone on long enough now. There's work waiting to be done.
What jobs?
Rebuilding a shattered world.
Your job, Hazel, will be to find a very nice young man and marry him. That oughtn't to be difficult for you.
Oh, hurry up, Hazel, and then I can be a bridesmaid. I believe you're my only chance. Kay says she won't get married for ages, if ever, because her writing, her work must come first.
No, that's nonsense, dear. When the right young man comes along, she'll forget about her writing.
I don't believe she will, Mother.
That's so true, Gerald, but what the miners want and ask for is simply nationalisation. They say if coal is so important as you say it is, then the mine shouldn't be in the hands of private owners any longer. Nationalise them, they say. That's the fairest thing.
All right, but supposing we don't want them nationalised, what then? Some of us have seen enough of government mismanagement already.
Quite so, Gerald. Everybody knows how ridiculous they were, sending bags of sand to Egypt. Now, I really mustn't neglect my guests any longer, must I? Most of them will be going soon, and then we can have a nice, cosy little party of our own.
I've been conscripted for the next scene, to be a general or something.
Oh, right. Put this false moustache on, and this hat. Try them on over there by the mirror.
Here, Gerald.
Hazel, do you know who's here? You'll never guess.
Who?
That awful little man who always stares at you. The one who followed us once all round the park.
He's not.
He is, I tell you. I distinctly saw him standing at the side near the door.
This sounds like my friend Beavers.
Do you mean to say the man you brought is that awful little man? Well, you're the absolute limit, Gerald Thornton. He's a dreadful little creature. Every time I go out, he's somewhere about staring and staring at me, and now you bring him here.
Oh, he's not so bad. He insisted on my bringing him. Your mother said it was all right. You shouldn't be so devastating, Hazel.
I told you he must be mad about you, Hazel. I swear I won't speak to him. Oh, he just would butt in like this.
Why shouldn't he, poor little Manny?
Shut up, Carol. You don't know anything about him.
That wasn't much good. The Costas were a washout.
No. Oh, that looks good, Carol. Now, you're a general, Gerald, and the others are recruits. Hurry up, Alan, and put something
different. Right, all right.
Gerald, you're inspecting them. You know, make up something silly and then say to one of them, oh, look at your foot, my man. Anyhow, bring in foot.
Of only two recruits, Carol and Alan.
No, Mother's sending in another man. Ah. They aren't guessing anything yet. That's silly because it's all sort of muddle.
Mrs. Conway told me to come in here.
Oh, yes, of course. You're to be one of the recruits in this next bit.
Oh. I'm not much good at this sort of thing, you know.
It doesn't matter. Just be silly.
Oh, Beavers, sorry. I better introduce you. This is Mr. Ernest Beavers, a rather recent arrival in our progressive city. Now, all these are Conways, except this young lady, Miss Joan Helford.
How do you do?
How do you do?
This is Kay, who decided to be 21 today so that we could have this party.
Very happy return.
Thank you.
She's the literary genius of this distinguished family. Over there is Madge, who's been to Girton and will try to convert you to socialism.
I'm afraid she won't succeed.
Now, this strange-looking middle-aged person is young Carol.
Hello.
Hello.
Alan, I think you've met already.
Yes.
Oh, and let me see. Yes, this is Hazel. She creates such havoc that when the Lesters were stationed here, the Colonel wrote and asked her to stay indoors the days they had route marches.
How do you do?
Don't be idiotic, Gerald. How do you do?
You'd better do something funny to yourself. Is there anything here you like?
Oh, Carol and Alan, you start.
Oh, yes.
You're recruits.
Yes.
Carol,
yes.
Can you do bits of Mr. Penny?
Oh, come in.
Right. Ready, Alan?
Yes, yes, I'm ready. Oh,
it's a long way.
What did your mother say, Hazel, about removing?
Oh, of course, you won't think of it. And she's been offered £5,000. £5,000 for this house.
Oh, Miss Conway, tell her to take it. I'll bet in 10 years she couldn't get £2,000. It's only this temporary shortage that's forced prices of property up. You'll see him come down with the bang yet.
But she adores being here, of course. And so it's hopeless.
Well, if I spoke out of my turn, I'm sorry.
Hurry up, Mr. Beavers! Gerald!
Coming!
I'm no good at this, you know, Miss Conway. It's no use pretending I am.
I don't think it's funny, Joan. I'm furious.
He looked so silly.
after my turn. I'm sorry.
We ought to have said pleased to meet you. Then he'd have said granted.
I think you were rather beastly to that little man.
Oh, dear.
But that's the little man I told you about, Kay, who always stared and once followed us round.
Well, now he'll be able to raise his little hat.
And that's all he'll jolly well get out of this, I'll tell you.
You don't think you'll marry him then, Hazel?
I'd just as soon marry a ferret.
I don't believe you two ever think or talk about anything but clothes and going to London and getting married.
Oh, don't you start being so grand. The Garden of Stars.
Now shut up, Hazel.
The Garden of Stars. That's what she called the last novel she started. She passed through the rose garden, the dying scent of the roses, meeting the grey moths.
I know it's all wrong, but I tore it up, didn't I?
Yes, my duck. And then you cried.
I've just begun a real one, with some guts in it, you'll see.
I'll bet it's about a girl who lives in a town just like Newlingham.
Well, why shouldn't it be? You wait, that's all.
Oh, they were awful, simply dreadful. No, you weren't too bad, Mr. Beavers, especially for a man who was doing a charade in a strange house.
Oh, now, I call that handsome, Miss Carroll.
The whole word now, pussyfoot. It's supposed to be a party in America, and we can't have anything to drink. We won't bother dressing up for this, just some good acting. I'll say the word. Now, just the girls for the grand finale.
Right.
So we're set?
Yes, no good.
And we can give ourselves a drink. We've earned a drink. Any dancing afterwards?
Oh, there might be. After Mother's done her singing.
Do you dance, Beavers?
Yeah, no, never had time for it.
Yes, we must have some dancing, Gerald.
You coming, Alan?
Yes.
Aren't you going to join them, Mr. Beavers?
Oh, yes, yes. Come on.
What's that?
It's Robin!
Oh, Robin!
Hello, kids. Hazel. Oh. Kay May happy. Carol Mile happy. Gosh, I made a dash to get here in time. Did half the journey on one of our lorries. I didn't forget the occasion, Kay. What about that? All right, isn't it? I mean, it's only a scarf.
Oh, it's lovely, Robin. Lovely, lovely.
Well, that's the stuff to give him. And I've finished. Out. Demobbed at last.
Oh, grand.
How's the writing, Kay?
Well, I'm still trying and learning.
That's the stuff. We'll show them. This is where the Conways really begin. How many young men, Hazel?
Nobody to speak of.
She'd worked her way up to colonels, hadn't you, Hayes?
Now that it's civilian, she's having to change her technique and she's a bit uncertain yet.
Oh, jealousy that, isn't it, Hazel? Uh-huh, here we are.
Isn't this nice?
Oh, we're all here. I knew somehow you were on your way, Robin, even though you didn't tell us, you naughty boy. I snatched you some food.
Oh, I couldn't, Mother, honestly. I only wangled it at the last minute.
Finish your charade now, dear.
Well, come on, you two. We can collect Matt out there. But remember, it's an American party and we can't have anything to drink. And then after kicking up a row, you ask who's giving the party and I'll say pussyfoot.
Oh, is there everything you want there, Robin?
Oh, yes, thanks, Mother. Gosh, you don't know what it feels like to be out at last.
Oh, I do, you silly boy. What do you think I feel? To have you back at last for good.
I must get some clothes.
Yes, yes, some really nice ones. Though it's a pity you can't keep on wearing that uniform. You look so smart in it.
I've got all sorts of plans, you know, Mother. My idea is something in the car and motorbike line. I understand them, and I've heard people are buying like mad. And I have my gratuity, you know.
Oh, yes, dear. We'll have a talk about all that. There's plenty of time now, thank goodness.
I think I ought to go up to town for my new clothes, Mother. I mean, you can't get anything really decent in Newlingham. And if I'm going to start selling cars, I've got to look like someone who knows a good suit when he sees one. Lord, it's grand to be back again and not just on a piffling little leave. Oh, here, Mother, steady. Nothing to cry about now.
I know. That's why. You see, Robin, losing your father, and then the war coming, taking you. I'm not used to happiness. I've forgotten about it. It's upsetting. And, Robin, now you're back, don't go rushing off again, please. Don't leave us. Not for years and years. Let's all be cosy together and happy again, shall we?
Oh, Mrs. Conway, they've finished the charade and some people are going. And Madge asked me to tell you they're expecting you to sing something.
Why didn't she come herself?
Oh, She and Kay and Carol began handing people sandwiches and things as soon as they finished the charade.
Hello, Joan.
Hello, Robin. Is it nice to be back again?
Yes, of course.
Oh, really, this room's a dreadful mess. I knew it would be. Hazel and Carol brought all these things down here. Joan, go and tell them that they must take these things upstairs at once. I can't have this room looking like an old clothes place.
Perhaps you'd like to help them, dear.
Oh, yes, rather.
You're looking very artful, Mother.
Am I?
I'm not feeling very artful. Joan's grown up to be a very nice-looking girl, hasn't she?
Quite.
I think she's pleasant, easy disposition. Not very clever or go-ahead or anything like that, but a thoroughly nice girl.
Yeah, I bet she is.
They're all panting for a song, Mother.
I don't even mind if it's German. Thank goodness I was never so stupid as to stop singing German songs. What have Schubert and Schumann to do with Hindenburg and the Kaiser?
Everybody guessed the charade just because it was Pussyfoot. Though they hadn't guessed any of the syllables.
All except Mr. James, who thought it was Kinema.
Well, come along, Robin. I may want you and Alan to move the piano for me.
Uh-huh.
Bring the tray, dear.
Right up.
Hey, are you going to write? Have you suddenly been inspired?
No, not really. But in my novel, a girl goes to a party, you see, and there are some things I've been feeling, very subtle things, that I know she'd feel. I want my novel to be really real this time, so I have to scribble them down.
Will you tell me them afterwards?
Yes.
Bedroom?
Yes, if you're not too sleepy.
Oh, I couldn't be. Kay, I think you're wonderful.
I think life's wonderful.
Both of you are.
Well, Kay.
Alan.
Oh, I'm glad you could come. It was the only thing about this business that didn't make me hate the thought of it. The chance you might be able to come. But Mother says you're not staying the night.
Oh, I can't, Alan. I must get back to London tonight.
At work?
Oh, yes. I have to go to Southampton in the morning to write a nice little piece about the newest little film star.
Do you often have to do that?
Yes, Alan, quite often. There are an awful lot of film stars, and they're always arriving at Southampton, except when they arrive at Plymouth. Damn their eyes. And all the women readers of the Daily Courier like to read a bright half column about their glamorous favourites.
They look very nice, but all rather alike.
They are all rather alike. And so are my bright interviews with them. In fact, sometimes I feel we're all just going round and round like poor old circus ponies.
Are you writing another novel?
Oh, no, my dear, I'm not. I tell myself too many people are writing novels.
Well, it does look like that sometimes.
Yes, but that's not the real reason. I still feel mine wouldn't be like theirs. Anyhow, not the next, even if the last was. Oh, but as things are, I just can't.
The last time you wrote, Kay, I mean, to me, you sounded rather unhappy, I thought.
Oh, I was. I suppose that's why I suddenly remembered you and wrote. Not very flattering to you, is it?
In a way it is, you know. Yes, Kay, I take that as a compliment.
Alan!
Why were you so unhappy then, the last time you wrote?
Something that was always ending really did come to an end just then. It had lasted 10 years, off and on, and eating more of one's life away when it was off than when it was on. He was married, there were children, it was the usual nasty muddle. Alan, you don't know what day it is today.
But I do. And, of course, Mother did too. Look.
Oh.
Here you are.
Alan, you're an angel. I never thought I'd have another single birthday present. And you know how old I am now? 40. 40.
I'm 44. And it's all right, you know. You'll like it. Back in a minute. Look at your present. I hope it's all right.
Hello, Alan.
Oh.
Hello,
Joan. Alan.
Come in.
Hello, Kay. Didn't think you'd manage to be here. You hardly ever do come to Newlingham now, do you? Must say, I don't blame you.
Oh, that handbag, isn't it, Barbara?
Nice, isn't it? Alan has just given it to me.
How are the children? Oh, Richard's very well. But the doctor says Anne's tonsils ought to come out. He doesn't tell me who's to pay for the operation, never thinks about that. They did enjoy those things you sent at Christmas, Kay. I don't know what they'd have done without them, though I did my best.
Oh, I'm sure you did, Joan.
Alan was very good to them too, weren't you, Alan? Though, of course, it's not like they're having a father. You know, I haven't seen Robin for months. Some people say I ought to divorce him, but I don't know. Honestly, isn't it awful? Oh, Kay. Oh, dear. Doesn't that sound silly? Okay.
No, I've stopped noticing.
Richard's always saying okay. He's heard it at the pictures. Of course, Anne copies him. Do you think it's all right, my being here tonight? It was Hazel who told me you were having a big family meeting, and she thought I ought to be here, and I think so, too. But Granny Conway didn't ask me.
Joan, you don't call Mother Granny Conway.
Well, I got into the habit, you know, with the children.
She must loathe it.
I think she does, you know, Joan.
Let's try and remember. Is she upstairs?
Yes, Madge is here too.
I think I'll go up and ask her if it's all right, my staying. Otherwise I'll feel such a fool.
Oh, yes, do. And tell her we think you ought to be here, if you want to be.
Well, it isn't that. But you see, if it's about money, I must know something, mustn't I? After all, I'm Robin's wife, and Richard and Anne are his children.
Yes, Joan, you tell Mother that if she objects. But she won't, though.
Oh, I suppose Robin's pretty hopeless, but really, Joan's such a fool.
Yes, but the way Robin's treated her has made her feel more of a fool than she really is. It's taken away all her confidence in herself, you see, Kay. Otherwise, she mightn't have been so bad.
You used to like Joan, didn't you?
You remember when she and Robin told us they were engaged? I was in love with her then. It's the only time I ever fell in love with anybody. But I remember quite suddenly hating Robin. Yes, really hating him. None of this loving and hating lasted, of course. It was just silly stuff. But I remember it quite well.
Suppose it had been you instead of Robin.
Oh, no, that wouldn't have done at all, really. It wouldn't. Most unsuitable.
I've just told Mother that if I hadn't happened to be in the neighbourhood today, I've applied for a headship at Borderton, you know, Kay, and had my interview there this afternoon. Nothing would have induced me to be here tonight.
Well, I don't know why you bothered telling her, Madge. You are here. That's all that matters.
No, it isn't. I wanted to understand quite clearly that I've no further interest in these family muddles, financial or otherwise. Other than Gerald Thornton seem to imagine that the time of a woman journalist in London is far more precious than that of a senior mistress at a large girl's public school. Why, I can't think. But the result is I've been dragged in often when you haven't.
Oh, Madge, be human tonight. You're not talking to the Collingfield Common Room now. This is your nice brother, Alan. This is your nice sister, Kay. We know all about you.
That's just where you're wrong. You know hardly anything about me. Any of you. The life you don't see. Call it the Collingfield Common Room, if that amuses you, is my real life. It represents exactly the sort of person I am now, and what you and Alan and Mother remember, and trust Mother not to forget anything foolish and embarrassing, is no longer of any importance at all.
I'd hate to think that, Madge.
And it isn't true. It really isn't, because
I heard your extraordinary views the last time I was here, Alan. Are you doing anything besides this popular journalism now, Kay? Have you begun another book?
No.
Pity, isn't it?
What about you, Madge? Are you building Jerusalem and England's green and pleasant land?
Possibly not. But I'm trying to put a little knowledge of history and a little sense into the heads of 150 middle-class girls. It's hard work and useful work. Certainly nothing to be ashamed of.
Then why be ashamed?
I'm not.
Hello, Madge.
Kay.
Oh, Hazel, my dear. You're grander every time I see you.
Do you like it?
Oh, yes. And you didn't get that in Newlingham at the Bon Marché. Do you remember when we used to think the Bon Marché marvellous?
Yes, and now they seem ghastly. Well, that's something, isn't it? Is Joan here?
Yes, she's upstairs with Mother. Is Ernest coming tonight?
I don't know.
I thought it was understood he was coming. Well, Mother thinks he is. I believe she's rather counting on him.
Well, she mustn't. You know what Ernest is. He said he might come tonight,
I asked him again only at lunchtime today, and he said he didn't know. And then I didn't like...
Didn't like? You mean you daren't? That miserable little... I shall go and speak to Mother about it.
Oh, Madge. Oh, please stop. Madge.
How are the children?
Peter has a cold again, poor lamb. He's always getting colds. Margaret's all right. Never any trouble with her. Oh, Kay, I read your article on Glenna Foss. Did she really say all those things to you, or did you make them up?
She said some of them, the rest I made up.
Oh, she sounds awful. But I suppose you can't judge by the way they talk, using all that slang. I know you don't think you're very lucky, Kay.
Oh, I vary. Sometimes when I manage to remember what most women go through, all kinds of women all over the world, I don't think. I know I'm lucky. But usually I feel clean out of luck.
I know. That's what I say. But I think you're very lucky, meeting all these people and being in London and all that. Look at me, still in Newlingham. And I loathe Newlingham. And it gets worse and worse. Doesn't it, Alan? I don't suppose you notice.
I think it's about the same. Perhaps we get worse, that's all.
Somebody was saying to me only the other day how odd they thought you were, Alan. And you are, really, aren't you? I mean, you don't seem to bother about everything as most people do. I've often wondered whether you're happy inside or just dull. Oh, Robin rang me up yesterday. He's living in Leicester just now, you know. And I told him about tonight. And he said he might look in because he wouldn't be far away.
I hope he doesn't.
What's he doing now, Hazel?
Oh, I don't know, really. He's always changing, you know. But it's something to do with commission.
Have your coat here, Joan.
Oh, shall I tell Joan he might be coming here?
No, risk it.
Now then, Hazel. Madge tells me you haven't brought Ernest with you.
Oh, no, Mother. I hope he'll be here soon.
Of course he will. Well, we can't do anything until Gerald arrives. He knows how things are, exactly.
Where's Madge?
Oh, she's probably taking something in the bathroom. I've never known anybody who took so many things as poor Madge. She's given herself so many lotions and gargles and sprays that no man has ever looked at her twice, poor thing. Alan, I think we ought to have both port and whiskey out, don't you? I told the girl to leave it already in the dining room. Better bring it in.
Right, Mother.
Now, what I'm wondering is this. Should we all sit round looking very stiff and formal? You know, make it a proper business affair, because after all, it is a business affair. Or should we make everybody comfortable and cosy? What do you think?
I think, Mother, you're enjoying this.
Well, after all, why shouldn't I? Oh, it's nice to see all you children at home again, even Madge. Yes, I say it's nice to see all you children home again, even you, Madge.
I'm not a child, and this is no longer my home.
You were a child once, and a very troublesome one, too. And for 20 years this was your home, and please don't talk in that tone to me. You're not in the classroom now, remember?
Now, Mother, please, it's not going to be easy tonight. And
don't worry, Hazel. Mother enjoys things not being easy. Kay, who was the man the Phillipsons saw you dining with at the, what's the name of that restaurant?
The Ivy, Mother. And the man is a man called Hugo Steele, I've told you already.
Yes, dear, but you didn't tell me much. The Phillipsons said you seemed awfully friendly together. I suppose he is an old friend.
Yes.
Isn't it a pity you couldn't, I mean, he's a really nice man.
Yes, a great pity.
Well, I've so often hoped you'd be settled with some nice man. And when the Phillipsons told
Mother, I'm 40 today. Had you forgotten?
Of course I hadn't. Mother always remembers. Joan?
Yes, Granny Conway?
Don't call me that ridiculous name.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
Bring me that little parcel on the sideboard.
Oh, here we are.
Thank you. You see, Kay, I haven't forgotten.
Oh, no, Mother, you really mustn't.
There. Your father gave me that. Second Christmas after we were married. Isn't it a charming little brooch? It's Brazilian diamonds.
Oh, it's very sweet of you, Mother, but really, I'd rather not take this from you.
Oh, don't be absurd. It's mine, and now I give it to you. Take it, or I'll be cross. And many happy returns, of course.
Oh, thank you, Mother.
Here we are.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Do you know, Kay, when you were younger, I never liked you as much as I did Hazel. Now I think I was wrong.
Oh, Mother.
Oh, I know, Hazel, dear. But you're such a fool with that little husband of yours. If you were mine...
Well, he isn't. And you really know very little about him.
Well, time the men were here. I've always hated seeing a lot of women sitting about with no men. They always look silly. And then I feel silly myself. I don't know why. Of course you were here, Alan. I was forgetting you. Or forgetting you were a man.
I must grow a shaggy beard and drum on my chest and roar.
When their Uncle Frank, you know, Frieda's husband, they live in London, took the children to the zoo for the first time, little Richard was only five, and there was an enormous monkey. What Alan said reminded me of
Would
it.
Anybody like a glass of port? Kay? Oh, no, Hazel, what about you, Matt?
No, thank you, Mother.
It's scholarly no, wine. Pour me one, Alan, dear. Oh. There. That's probably Gerald.
I'll go.
At last. Yes, Madge. But he wasn't so impatient. Well, Gerald, will you have a drink before you begin talking?
Yes. No, thank you. Yes. How are you, Kay?
Quite well, thank you, Gerald.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
What is?
I always remember your saying years ago that you didn't mind living in Newlingham, but you were determined to be as different as possible from the Newlingham type of man.
I don't remember saying that.
Oh, yes, you did. And now I'm sorry, Gerald, but it's true. You suddenly look like all those Newlingham men rolled into one.
What do I do? Apologise?
Good evening, Kay.
Hello, Ernest.
Good evening, Ernest.
Good evening.
Oh, Ernest, I'm so glad you're here.
You are, eh?
I suppose that means you won't stay now, just to show
me.
I
don't need to show you. You know by this time.
Ernest, please, be nice to them tonight. Especially to Mother. You could be such a help if you wanted to be.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now then, everybody, please be quiet and pay attention. Now then, Hazel, stop fidgeting there and sit down. Now, we must be very businesslike, mustn't we, Gerald? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad you're able to come, Ernest. You'll help us to be businesslike, won't you?
Yes.
That doesn't mean you're at liberty to make yourself unpleasant.
Be quiet, Madge. Now then, Gerald, we're all waiting. Tell us all about it.
Acting under instructions from Mrs. Conway, after it was decided you should all meet here, I have prepared a short statement of Mrs. Conway's present financial
Gerald,
position. Yes?
Must you talk in that awful, dry, inhuman way? I mean, after all, I've known you since you were a boy, and the children have known you all their lives.
That's true.
And you're beginning to talk as if you'd never seen any of us before. You sound so horrid.
But I'm not here now as a friend of the family, but as your solicitor.
No, no, no. You're here as a friend of the family who also happens to be my solicitor. And I think it would be much better if you told us all in a simple, friendly way what the position is.
I think that would be better, you know, Gerald.
Yes,
so do I. When you turn on that legal manner, I can't take you seriously. I feel you're still acting in one of our old charades.
Oh, weren't they fun? And you were so good in them, Gerald. Why can't we have some more?
What, at your age?
I don't see why not. Mother was older than we are now when she used to play.
You're not proposing to turn this into a charade, are you, Hazel?
Oh, what a pity it isn't one.
Perhaps it is.
Oh, don't you start being silly, Alan. Now then, Gerald, just tell us how things are. And don't read out a lot of figures and dates and things. I know you've brought them with you, but keep them for anybody who wants to look at afterwards. Mm. Perhaps you'd like to have a look at them afterwards, Ernest?
I might. Go ahead.
Well, the position is this. Mrs. Conway, for a long time now, has derived her income from two sources. A holding in Farrow and Conway Limited, and some property in Newlingham. The houses at the north end of Church Road. Farrow and Conway were hit badly by the slump and have not recovered yet. The houses in Church Road are not worth anything like what they were, and the only chance of making that property pay is to convert the houses into flats. But this would demand a substantial outlay of capital. Mrs. Conway has received an offer for her holding in Farrow and Conway Limited, but it would not pay for the reconstruction of the Church Road property. Meanwhile, that property may soon be a liability instead of an asset. So you see, the position is very serious.
I must say, I'm very much surprised. I always understood that Mother was left extremely well provided for.
Certainly I was. Your father saw to that.
Both the shares and the property have declined in value.
Yes, but even so, I'm still surprised. Mother must have been very extravagant.
Mrs. Conway hasn't been as careful as she might have been.
There were six of you to bring up and educate.
It isn't that. I know how much we cost. It's since then that the money's been spent, and I know who must have had most of it. Robin.
That'll do, Madge. It was my money.
It wasn't. It was only yours to hold in trust for us. Alan, you're the eldest and you've been here all the time. Why didn't you do something?
I'm afraid I haven't bothered much about these
things. Well, then you ought to have done. I think it's absolutely wicked. I've been working hard, earning my living for over 20 years, and I've looked forward to having something from what Father left. Enough to pay for a few really good holidays, or to buy myself a little house of my own. And now it's all gone, just because Mother and Robin between them have flung it away.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself talking like that.
What if I have helped Robin? He needed it. And I'm his mother. If you had needed it, I'd have helped you too.
You wouldn't? When I told you I had a chance to buy a partnership in that school, you only laughed at me.
Because you were all right where you were. You didn't need to buy a partnership.
And Robin did, I suppose.
Yes, because he's a man. With a wife and children to support.
Yeah, how long does this go on? Because I've something else to do.
Oh, that's all right, Ernest. Look what you've done now, Mad. You made Joan cry.
Sorry. I just remembered so many things. So.
At the present moment, Mrs. Conway has a considerable overdraft at the bank. Now, there are two possible courses of action. One is to sell the houses for what they'll fetch and to hold on to the shares. But I warn you that the houses won't fetch much. The alternative is to sell the shares, then to raise an additional sum, probably between £2,000 or £3,000, and to convert the houses into flats.
We've had a sort of scheme from an architect. Really, it looks most attractive. There'd be at least 30 nice flats. We know what people pay for flats nowadays. Don't you think it's a splendid idea, Ernest? Well, I felt if we all discussed it in a nice, friendly way, we could decide something. People are very nice and kind, really. And only last week I went to Mrs. Jepson's funeral and I was walking back through the cemetery with Mrs. Whitehead. I hadn't been round there for years. And I saw Carol's grave. And, of course, I was rather upset, suddenly coming on it like that. But it was so beautifully kept, with flowers. Lovely flowers growing there. And I thought, now there's an instance. Nobody's told them to do that or paid them for it. It's just natural kindness.
No, it isn't. Somebody must have been paying for it.
Alan, it must be you, isn't it?
Well, I do send them something once every year, you know. It isn't much.
It's 16 years ago.
17.
Why, my Margaret's nearly as big as she was. Doesn't that seem strange, Kay?
I'd nearly forgotten about Carol, too.
Don't think I had. Only the other day, when I was sitting upstairs, I heard Carol shouting, "Mother! Mother!" You know how she used to? And then I began thinking about her, my poor darling, and how she came in that awful day, her face quite greyish, and said, "Mother, I've the most sickening pain." And then it was too late when they operated.
Yes, Mother, we remember.
I'll tell you what you don't remember, and what some of you never even knew. She was the best of the lot, that one little Carol. Worth all the rest of you put together.
Ernest!
Yes, and I'm counting you in. Oh, you were the one I wanted. That's all right, I got the one I wanted, but it didn't take me 2 hours to see that little Carol was the best of the lot. Didn't surprise me when she went off like that. Out! Finish! Too good to last.
Ernest is quite right. She was the best of you all. My darling baby. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. Go on. Why isn't Robin here? Go on. Go on, Gerald. Explaining to them. I shan't be long. Don't move.
Surely, under the circumstances, it's absurd that Mother and Alan should continue living in this house. It's much too large for them.
Oh, yes, we could do with something much smaller now.
Well, then this house could be sold. That would help. It's Mother's freehold, isn't it?
Yes. I think it would be better to move into something smaller, just to cut down living expenses. But this house wouldn't fetch very much now.
Why, Mother was offered thousands and thousands for it just after the war.
How much do you think, Ernest?
Take anything you can get for it.
Well, what are we supposed to do? If the worst comes to the worst, we can club together to keep Mother going.
But it's monstrous.
When I was at home and knew about things, we were considered quite well off. There were all the shares and property Father left, not simply for Mother, but for all of us. And now not only has it nearly all been frittered away, but we're expected to provide for Mother.
But if the money's gone, it's gone.
No, the point is this.
I'll go.
Everybody here?
Yes, all here, Robin.
Marina?
No, but she'll be back in a minute.
Well, Joan, how are the offspring?
Quite well, Robin.
Still telling them what an awful man their father is?
Are we going to have this all over again?
No, you're not, dear old Madge. Do I see a drink over there? I do.
Have a drink, Gerald.
No.
Ernest, have a drink?
No? Well, I will. Oh, okay, condescending to visit the provinces again, eh?
Yes, but I've got to be back sometime tonight.
Don't blame you. Wish I was going back to town. That's the place. Yeah, I've half a mind to chuck what I'm doing and try my luck there again. No, several decent chaps there.
What are you doing now, Robin?
Trying to sell a new heavy motor oil. I ought to have tried your stunt, writing. Might one day. I could tell him something. Oh, my oath, I could. Well, don't let me interrupt the business. Or are you waiting for Mother?
No, we're better without her.
Yes, you would think that. But don't forget, it's her money.
Robin!
Robin!
Oh, this is nice. You staying the night?
Well, I wasn't, but I could do in Alan's best pyjamas.
We were just saying, Mother, that it was absurd for you to keep on living here. The house is much too big and expensive now.
That's for Mother to decide.
No, that's all right, dear. It is too big now. And, of course, if I sold it, I could probably raise enough to convert the Church Road houses into flats.
No, you couldn't. Nothing like.
Really, Ernest, I was offered £5,000 for it once.
You ought to have taken it.
I'm afraid you can't count on getting much for this house. Though, of course, you'll save money by living in a smaller place.
Well, not much, though. She'd have to pay rent for the smaller house, and this is hers.
But rates and taxes are fairly heavy on this house. I want you all to understand that the present situation is very unsatisfactory. But if the money for the conversion scheme could be raised, then the Church Road property would bring in a decent income.
Couldn't I borrow that?
Not from the bank. I've tried that.
Ernest could lend you the money.
What?
Well, you could easily afford it, Ernest.
From what I hear, you're very well off indeed these days, Ernest.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
It only seems yesterday that you first came here. A shy young man from nowhere.
It's 20 years ago. But that's just what I was. A shy young man from nowhere. And when I managed to wangle myself into this house, I thought I'd got somewhere.
I remember so well feeling that about you at the time, Ernest.
Yes, I was made to feel I'd got somewhere too. But I stuck it. I've always been able to stick it when I've had my mind on something I badly wanted. That's how I managed to get on.
Oh, don't begin to tell us now you landed here with only a shilling in your pocket.
Now, Robin.
I wasn't going to, don't worry. You're not going to have the story of my life. All I was about to say was that as far as I'm concerned, you can whistle for your £2,000 or £3,000. You won't get a penny from me. Hmm. And I might as well tell you, while I'm making myself unpleasant, that I could lend you the £2,000 or £3,000 without feeling it. Only I'm not going to, not a penny.
You make me feel ashamed.
Oh, why? Well, go on. Tell them why I make you feel ashamed. Tell me. Or would you like to tell me later when I'm telling you a few things?
I never did like you, Beavers. I'll have a mind to boot you out of this house.
You do, and I'll bring an action for assault, and I'd enjoy it. My money or the boot, eh? I told Hazel a long time ago that not one of you would ever get a penny out of me, and I'm not mean, you can ask her. But I swore to myself after the very first night I came here, when you were all being so high and mighty, that you'd never see a penny that I ever made.
I see.
What does that mean? By God, she has. She's been giving you money, my money.
Oh, Robin, you shouldn't.
What does it matter? He can't eat you.
Come on, Hazel.
Don't go if you don't want to.
Hazel, there's nothing to be afraid of.
There is. I'm frightened of him. Except right at the first, I've always been frightened of him.
Oh, don't be silly. That little pipsqueak, what can he do?
I don't know. It isn't that. It's just something about him.
Come on, I'm going.
No.
What did you say?
You sneaked your way in here, Ernest Beavers. And somehow you persuaded or you bullied Hazel, who was considered then one of the prettiest girls in Newlingham, into marrying you.
No, Mother, please don't.
I'll tell him now.
what I've always wanted to tell him. I was a fool. My husband wouldn't have had such a bullying, mean little rat near the house. I never liked you. And I'm not surprised to hear you say that you've always hated us. Don't ever come here again. Don't ever let me see you again. I only wish I was Hazel for just one day. I'd show you something. What? You? And my daughter? Now, you bring an action for that.
You've done a lot of damn silly things in your time, Mrs. Conway. But you'll find that's the damn silly. Come on, Hazel.
Oh, Mother, you shouldn't.
She did quite right. And you just let me know if he gives you any trouble.
No, Robin. You don't understand. You don't understand.
Well, I suppose that was a silly thing to do.
I'm afraid it was, you know.
You see, it's Hazel who'll have to pay for it.
Well, she needn't. She's only to let me know what he's up to.
What's the good of talking like that? What could you do? He can make her life a misery and you couldn't stop it.
Well, it's her own fault. I've no patience with her. I wouldn't stand it for 10 minutes.
No use you talking, Madge. You simply don't understand. You've never been married.
No, and after what I've seen here, I think I'm lucky.
You're not lucky. Never were, never will be. And as you haven't the least idea what a woman's real life is like, the less you say, the better. You're not among schoolgirls and silly teachers now. Robin, give me a glass of port, won't you?
All right, old angel.
You have a drink too?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any point in my staying any longer.
But we haven't settled anything.
I thought there was a chance that Ernest Beavers might have been persuaded to lend you the money. As I don't think anybody else here has £3,000 to spare.
All right, Thornton, you needn't be so damn supercilious about it. It seems to me you've not made a particularly bright job of handling my mother's affairs.
I don't think that comes too well from you. For years I've given good advice, and never once has it been acted upon. Now I'd only be too delighted to hand over these affairs.
Well, I believe I could make a better job of it myself.
I can't imagine a possibly worse choice. Good night, Mrs. Conway. Good night, Kay. Good night, Alan.
I'll see you out, Gerald.
I think I'll come along too, Gerald.
You'll be able to have a nice little chat about me on the way.
It doesn't hurt as much as it used to do, Robin, when you talk so bitterly. I suppose one day it won't hurt at all.
Oh, sorry, old girl. And give my love to the kids. Say I'm coming to see them soon.
Yes, come and see us soon. Only remember, we're very poor now.
Thanks for that. And you talk about being bitter.
Good night, my dear.
Good night, Kay. It's been nice seeing you again.
Yes. Good night, Joan. Here's your coat.
Well, now we ought to be able to settle something.
So far as I'm concerned, this has simply been a waste of time and nervous energy.
Do you know, Madge, when I think of Gerald Thornton as he is now, a dreary, conceited, middle-aged bachelor, I can't help thinking it's a pity you didn't marry him.
What, Madge? I never knew she fancied Gerald Thornton.
She did once. Didn't you, dear? And I believe he was interested. Oh, it's a long time ago, when you children were all still at home.
Mother, if that's not true, then it's stupid, silly talk. If it is true, then it's cruel.
Oh, nonsense. And not so high and mighty, please, Kay.
It was true. A long time ago, just after the war. When I still thought we could suddenly make everything better for everybody. Socialism, peace, universal brotherhood, all that. And I felt then that Gerald Thornton and I together could help. He had a lot of fine qualities, I thought, and only needed to be pulled out of his rut here to have this enthusiasm aroused. I was remembering tonight. One evening, just one evening, and something you did, Mother, that evening ruined it all. It was a sort of party for you, Kay. Do you remember?
Oh, really, Madge, you are absurd. I seem to remember some piece of nonsense when we were all being foolish.
Yes, you remember. It was quite deliberate on your part. Something went forever.
It can't have been worth very much, then.
I'm glad I'm not a mother.
You may well say that.
I know how I'd have despised myself if I turned out to be a bad mother.
So that's what you call me? Just because you never think of anybody but yourselves? You're all selfish. Selfish. Because everything hasn't happened as you wanted it, turn on me. It's all my fault. When you were children, I was so proud of you all, so confident that you would grow up to be wonderful creatures. I used to see myself at
this age surrounded by you all and your own children. So proud of you, so happy with you all. What's happened? You're a resentful, soured schoolmistress, middle-aged before your time. Hazel, the loveliest child there was, married to a vulgar little bully and terrified of him. And Kay here, gone away to lead her own life and very bitter and secretive about it, as if she'd failed. Carol, the happiest, the kindest of you all, dead before she's 20. Robin? Oh, I know, my dear, I'm not blaming you now, but I must speak the truth for once. With a wife he can't love and no sort of position or comfort or anything. And Alan, the eldest, the boy his father adored that he thought might do anything. What's he now? Miserable clerk with no prospects, no ambition, no self-respect. Shabby little man that nobody would look at twice. Yes, yes, a shabby little clerk that nobody would look at twice.
How dare you, Mother, how dare you, Alan of all people.
It's all right, Kay. Don't you get excited. It's not a bad description. I am a shabby little clerk, you know. It must be very disappointing.
Oh, Alan, don't be so forgiving. Robin, you've always been selfish and weak, my darling, but you're my own boy and my own sort and a great comfort. So you and I will go upstairs and talk.
That's the spirit.
Mother, we've both said what we want to say. There isn't any more to be said. And if you decide to have any more of these family conferences, don't trouble to ask me to attend them, because I shan't. I don't expect now to see a penny of Father's money, and please don't expect to see any of mine.
Who wants yours?
Come on, dear. We'll talk like human beings.
I have an idea I wasn't too pleasant to you, Kay, earlier when we met tonight. If so, I'm sorry.
That's all right, Madge. Are you going back to Collingfield tonight?
No, I can't. But I'm staying with Nora Fleming. You remember her? She's head of Newlingham High now. I've left my things there. I'll go now. I don't want to see Mother again.
Goodbye, Madge. I hope you call her one of those headships.
Goodbye. And do try and write a good book instead of doing nothing but this useless journalism.
I'll see you to the door. Kay, what's the matter? Has all this been a bit too much for you?
Apparently. And I thought I was tough now. Alan, I've not only been here tonight, I've been remembering other nights long ago when we weren't like this.
Yes, I know, those old Christmas and birthday parties.
Yes, I remembered. I saw all of us then, myself too. Oh, silly girl of 1919, oh, lucky girl.
You mustn't mind too much. It's all right, you know. Like being 40?
No, oh, Alan, it's hideous and I'm terrible. I remember what we once were and what we thought we'd be. And now this. I've felt it before, Alan, but never as I've done tonight. There's a great devil in the universe and we call it time.
Did you ever read Blake?
Yes.
Do you remember this? Joy and woe are woven fine. A clothing for the soul divine. Under every grief and pine runs a joy with silken twine. It is right it should be so. Man was made for joy and woe. And when this we rightly know, safely through the world we go.
Safely through the world we go? No, it isn't true, Alan, or it isn't true for me. If things were merely mixed, good or bad, that would be all right, but they get worse. We've seen it tonight. Time's beating us.
No, time's only a kind of dream, Kay. It's hard to explain suddenly like this. There's a book I'll lend you. Read it in the train. But the point is, now, at this moment, or at any moment, we're only a cross-section of our real selves. What we really are is the whole stretch of ourselves, all our time. And when we come to the end of this life, all our selves, all our time, will be us. The real you, the real me. And then, perhaps, we'll find ourselves in another time, which is only another kind of dream.
I'll try to understand. so long as you really believe and think it's possible for me to believe. That time's not ticking our lives away, wrecking and ruining everything forever.
It's all right, Kay. I'll get you that book. I believe half our trouble now is because we think time's ticking our lives away. That's why we snatch and grab and hurt each other.
As if we were all in a panic on a sinking ship.
Yes, like that.
Oh, but you don't do those things, bless you.
No, I think it's easier not to, if you take a long view.
As if we were immortal beings.
Yes, and in for a tremendous adventure. Kay.
Helen?
Yes?
Oh, no, nothing.
I believe you've been asleep while Mother was singing.
No. I was sitting here listening. No, I didn't fall asleep. I don't know, though. Perhaps I did, just for a second. I couldn't have been longer.
But you'd know if you'd been asleep.
No, I wasn't asleep. Quite suddenly, I thought I saw... We were... Anyhow, I'm sure you came into it, Alan.
Came into what?
I can't remember. But I know I was listening to Mother singing all the time, and I'm... Oh, a bit woozy.
Most of the people are going now. You'd better go and say goodnight.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Hazel, you were sized at that piece of cake. Give me a piece.
I didn't come in here just to eat this.
Of course you did.
You're all saying goodnight now, and I'm dodging that little horror Gerald Thornton brought.
Oh, I must say my piece to them.
Hazel? What's Joan Helford going to do now?
Oh, just mooch round a bit.
I thought I heard her saying she was going away. I was wondering if she was leaving Newlingham.
She's only going to stay with her aunt. Joan's always staying with aunts. Why can't we have aunts planted all over the place?
There's Aunt Edith.
And a doctor's house in Wolverhampton. Ghastly. Anything else you'd like to know about Joan?
No. No, I just wondered. Oh, Ernest, you going?
Yes. In a minute.
Yes, well...
Oh, Alan, you're not going?
Yes, I have to say good night and get their coats and things, you know.
I just looked in to say good night, Miss Conway.
Oh, yes, of course. Well,
it's been a great pleasure to me to come here and meet you all.
Oh, well...
Especially you. I'm new round here, you know. I've only been in the place about 3 months. I bought a share in that paper mill, Eckersley's, out at West Newlingham. You know it?
No.
Oh, I thought you might have noticed it. Been there long enough. Matter of fact, it wants rebuilding. But that's where I am. And I hadn't been here a week before I noticed you, Miss Conway.
Did you?
Yes. And I've been watching out for you ever since. I expect you've noticed me knocking about.
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, yes, yeah, you must have done. Come on now, admit it.
Well, if you must know, I have noticed you.
I thought so.
Because I thought you behaved very stupidly and rudely. If you want to look silly yourself, that's your affair. But you'd no right to make me look silly too.
Oh. Well, I didn't know it had been as bad as that.
Well, it has.
Well, I'm sorry. Though I can't see anybody's much the worse for it. After all, we've only one life to live. Let's get on with it, I say. And in my opinion, you're the best-looking girl in this town, Miss Hazel Conway. I've been telling you that in my mind for the last 2 months. But I knew it wouldn't be long before I got to know you, to tell you properly. I expect you're thinking I'm not much of a chap. But there's a bit more in me than meets the eye. A few people have found that out already, and a lot more will find it out before so long here in Newlingham. You'll see. Would it be all right if I, sort of called to see you sometime soon?
You'd better ask my mother.
Oh. Sort of ask Mama business, eh?
Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that at all.
I meant that this is Mother's house.
Oh, yes, but you're old enough now to have your own friends, aren't you?
I don't make friends with people very quickly.
Oh. I'd heard you did.
Do you mean to say you've been discussing me with people?
Oh, yes. Why not?
Robin, you don't mean to say you actually did their work for them?
Golly, yes, it was great luck. We weren't in uniform, you know. I did some stoking. Hard work, but a great stunt.
It wasn't. You ought to have been ashamed of yourselves.
Why?
Because helping to break a strike and being a blackleg isn't a lark and a stunt. It was a very serious thing for those railway men and for their wives and families. I think it's shameful the way the middle class turn against the working class.
Well, there had to be some sort of train service.
Why? If the public had to do without trains altogether, they might realise then that the railway men had some grievances.
They might, but I have an idea they'd be too busy with their own grievance. No trains. No, the working class is out for itself. Why shouldn't the middle class be out for itself?
Because the middle class must have already been successfully out for itself, or it wouldn't be a comfortable middle class. Then why turn against the working class when at last it tries to look after itself?
Oh, that's easy. There's only so much to go around, and if you take more, then I get less.
I'm sorry, but that's bad economics as well as bad ethics.
Well, we'd have red revolution like Russia if we began to listen to these wild chaps like...
Well, I think it's silly. Why can't people agree?
Oh, come now, Miss Conway.
Good night. I came in here for something. What was it?
You in the army, Beavers?
Yes, 2 years.
What crush?
Army pay corps. And
well, that must have been fun for you.
Mr. Beavers? Oh, you look put out.
No, that's about it, put out.
I believe you're all hot and angry inside, aren't you?
Oh, disappointed. Which is it?
A mixture, I expect. Well, Mr. Beavers, you mustn't. You were very nice about the charade and very good in it, too. I don't suppose you've ever played before, have you?
No, they didn't go in for those sort of things in my family.
No, I don't think you've had enough fun. That's your trouble, Mr. Beavers. You must come and play charades again.
You're all right, you know.
But surely he's gone, hasn't he?
We're all right, you know, and don't forget that, Mr. Beavers.
You're a funny kid.
I'm not very funny, and I'm certainly not a kid.
Oh, sorry.
I'll forgive you this time.
Come along in here, Gerald. Oh, you still here, Mr. Beavers?
Yeah, well, I'm just going, Mrs. Conway. Yeah, are you coming along, Gerald?
No, Mr. Thornton and I want to talk business for a few minutes.
Oh, I see. Well, good night, Mrs. Conway, and I'm very pleased to have met you.
Good night, Mr. Beavers. Carol, will you...
Oh, yes. I'll set you and your horse on the big trail, partner.
I'm sorry if your little friend thought he was being pushed out. Really, Gerald, the children would never have given me if I'd encouraged him to stay any longer.
I'm afraid Beavers hasn't been a success.
Well, after all, he is rather, isn't he?
I did warn you, you know. And he really was so desperately keen to meet the famous Conways.
Hazel, you mean?
Well, Hazel especially, but he was determined to know the whole family.
Well, I do think they're an attractive lot of children.
Only outshone by their attractive mother.
Gerald, I believe you're going to flirt with me.
Of course I am. By the way, there wasn't any business you wanted to discuss, was there?
No, not really. But I think you ought to know that I've had another enormous offer for this house.
Mm.
Of course, I wouldn't dream of selling it, but it's nice to know it's worth so much. Oh, and young George Farrow would like me to sell him my share in the firm. Says he's ready to make an offer that would surprise me.
I believe it would be pretty handsome, too. But of course, there's no point in selling out when they're paying 15%. And once we're really out of this wartime atmosphere and the government restrictions are off, there's going to be a tremendous boom.
Oh, isn't that lovely? All the children back home. Plenty of money to help them settle down. And mind you, Gerald, I shouldn't be a bit surprised if Robin doesn't do awfully well in some business quite soon. Selling things, probably. People find him so attractive, dear Robin. Gerald, it isn't so very long ago that I thought myself the unluckiest woman in the world. If it hadn't been for the children, I wouldn't have wanted to go on living. Sometimes, without him, I didn't want to go on living. And now, though of course it'll never be the same without him, I suddenly feel I'm one of the luckiest women in the world.
all my children round me, quite safe at last, quite happy.
It's hide and seek all over the house.
Did he say all over the house?
Yes.
Not in my room, Robin, please.
Mother's room's barred.
Oh, oh, right, there he is.
I am. Mother, turn the lights off, come on. Where's Gerald?
Coming.
Oh, just to hear him shouting about the house again. You don't know what it means to me, Gerald, and you never will know.
I'll go to the coat car and count 50. And then scatter everybody. To us.
Joan? Is that you?
Oh, Alan, don't hide in here.
I came especially. I saw you come in.
No, please go somewhere else.
You look so pretty, Joan.
Do I? Sweet of you, Alan.
Can I stay, then?
No, please. It's so much more fun if you go somewhere else. Alan, don't spoil it.
Spoil what?
The game, of course. Go on, Alan. There's a pet.
49, 50.
Oh, you can't go out that way now. You'll have to go through the dining room and then round. Go on.
All right. Goodbye, Joan.
Why do you say that?
Because I feel it is goodbye.
All right, Joan Hilford. Where are you, Joan Hilford? Where are you? You can't escape, Joan Hilford. You can't escape. No, 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 no. No, no, no escape for little Joan. No escape.
Oh, Robin.
Oh, Joan.
I suppose you've been doing this to dozens of girls.
Oh, yes, Joan, dozens.
I thought so.
Like that, Joan. But not like this.
Oh, Robin, you are sweet.
You know, Joan, well, it's not so very long since I saw you last time. I couldn't believe my eyes tonight. You look so stunning.
It was because I just heard that you'd come back, Robin.
I don't believe it.
Yes, it's true. Honestly. I don't suppose you've ever thought about me, have you?
Oh, yes, I have. Hundreds of times.
I have about you, too.
Joan, you're a darling.
Do you remember that morning you went away so early, a year ago?
Yes, but you weren't there. Only Mother, Hazel and Kay.
I was there too, but I didn't let any of you see me.
You got up in that filthy hour just to see me go?
Yes, of course. Oh, it was awful. Trying to hide and trying not to cry all at the same time.
But, Joan, I had no idea.
I didn't mean to give myself away.
But, Joan, it's marvellous.
You don't love me.
Of course I do. Joan, we'll have a great time.
Oh, yes, let's. Robin, it's terribly serious, you know.
Oh, yes, I don't think I don't feel that too, but, well, that's no reason why we shouldn't enjoy ourselves, is it?
No. Oh, let's be happy forever and ever.
Oh, I thought so. They're in here, courting.
I knew there was a cat in this hide-and-seek.
Sorry, shall we start again?
No, thank you, Robin. You better explain to Mother. I'm going to make the tea.
Come on, Joan, let's go and explain to Mother.
Well, Madge, it sounds all right. And I know Lord Robert Cecil's a fine chap, but I don't quite see where I come into it.
Because in a few weeks' time, there'll be a branch of this League of Nations Union here in Newlingham. It's no use my doing much about it. Though I'll join, of course, because I'll be away. But you could be organising secretary or something, Gerald.
I don't know that I'd be much good.
Oh, Gerald, you're maddening.
Why, Madge, what have I done now?
We're friends, aren't we?
I consider you one of my very best friends, Madge. And I hope I'm not flattering myself.
Of course not.
Good. So?
You're not doing enough, Gerald. Hmm? I mean, you're not doing enough with yourself. I could be tremendously proud of you, Gerald.
That's overwhelming. Coming from you, Madge.
Why from me?
Because I know very well that you've got a very good brain and are a most critical young woman. Rather frightening.
Nonsense. You don't mean that. I'd much rather you didn't, you know.
All right, I don't. As a matter of fact, I'm very fond of you, Madge. But I don't often get a chance of showing you that I am.
I've always been very fond of you, Gerald. And that's why I say I could be tremendously proud of you.
We're going to build up a new world now. This horrible war was probably necessary because it was a great bonfire in which we threw all the old nasty rubbish of the world. Civilization can really begin at last. People have learned their lesson.
I hope so.
Oh, Gerald, don't be so pessimistic, so cynical. People all over the world have learned their lesson. You'll see. No more piling up armaments, no more wars. Under the League, we'll build up a new commonwealth of all the nations so that they can live at peace forever. And imperialism will go. And so in the end, of course, will capitalism. There'll be socialism at last. A free, prosperous, happy people all enjoying equal opportunities, living at peace with the whole world.
Madge, I hardly recognise you.
This is the real me. Oh, Gerald, if you...
Madge, dear. Your hair's all over the place. You've made your nose shiny. You're horribly untidy. And I'm sure you're in the middle of a socialist speech that must be boring, poor Gerald.
Yes, Mother.
Poor Madge.
Mother.
Yes, Hazel?
You know.
I think I'd better be going.
Oh, no, Gerald, don't go. Hazel has just made some tea. We're all going to be nice and cosy together in here.
I fancy it's rather late. After 11, I must go. I have an early appointment in the morning and one or two things to look through before I turn in, so...
Gerald, you're not going?
Good night, Kay. Thank you for a very nice party. And now that you're properly grown up, I hope you'll be happy.
Thank you, Gerald. Do you think I will?
I don't know, Kay. I really don't know.
Oh, come, come. I'll see you out, Gerald.
Good night, Gerald.
It was great. I've always thought it must be much more fun being a girl than being a man. I'm never sure. Sometimes men seem quite hopelessly dull, like creatures made out of wood. And then at other times, they seem to have all the fun.
Kay, just now, this very minute, I wish I wasn't a girl. I'd like to be a man. One of those men with red faces and loud voices who just don't care what anybody says about them.
Perhaps they do, though.
I'd like to be one of those who don't.
Why all this?
Alan says he's off to bed.
Oh, no, Alan, don't spoil it.
How could I?
By going to bed. It's my birthday, and you're not going to go until I give you leave.
Quite right, Kay. And that's because we're very fond of you, Alan, though you are such a chump. You must smoke your pipe, too, for coziness. Robin and Joan are courting in the other room. I can see they're going to be an awful nuisance.
Hazel? If you had to fall in love with somebody, would you like it to be at home or somewhere else?
Oh, somewhere else. Too ordinary at home. On a yacht. Or the terrace at Monte Carlo. Or a Pacific island. Marvellous.
No, it wouldn't be too ordinary, falling in love at home here. It would be best, I think. Suppose you were suddenly unhappy. It would be awful to be desperately unhappy and in love miles away in a strange house. Oh.
Kay, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Then it must have been a goose walking over your grave. Now then, let's have some tea and be nice and cosy together.
Where's Robin?
Spooning with Joan in the other room.
Oh, hasn't Joan gone yet? Right. I'll pour out. Come on, Kay. What's the matter?
Shh, she's in a mood.
What a funny child you are, aren't you?
Not really, Mother. Where's Madge?
She went upstairs.
Alan, go up, dear, and tell her we're all in here with some tea. And ask her very nicely, especially from me, dear, ask her to come down.
Yes, Mother.
I'll bet she doesn't.
Well, this is just like old times, isn't it? And we seem to have waited so long. I want to tell fortunes again tonight.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Mother, do.
No!
Kay, really?
Sorry, Mother. Somehow I hated the idea of you messing about with those cards tonight. I never did like it much.
I think I ought to go now, Mrs. Conway. Oh, thank you so much, Kay. It's been the loveliest party there ever was. I really have had a marvellous time, Mrs. Conway.
Well, Mother?
Are you two children serious?
Of course we are.
Joan?
Yes.
I think you'd better have a cup of tea, haven't you?
I'm so happy.
What did I tell you, Kay? Courting everywhere. Tea, tea, tea.
Madge says she's too tired to come, Mother.
Well, I think we can get on very nicely without Madge. Kay ought to read us some of the new novels she's writing.
Oh, yes. Possibly, Mother.
Is that what you want to do, Kay? Just to write novels and things?
Yes. But there's nothing in simply writing. The point is to be good, to be sensitive and sincere. I'm going to try and be. And whatever happens, I'm never, never going to write except what I want to write, what I feel is true to me, deep down. I won't write just to please silly people or just to make money.
Go on, Kay.
Oh, no, Alan, I'd finished, really. Or if I was going to say something else, I've forgotten what it was. Nothing much.
I'm sure you're not overtired, Kay.
Oh, no, Mother, really.
I wonder what will have happened to you, Hazel, when Kay's a famous novelist. Perhaps one of your majors and captains will come back for you soon.
They needn't. In fact, I'd rather none of them didn't.
Oh. Think she could do much better than them.
I know I can. I shall marry a tall, rather good-looking man, about 5 or 6 years older than I am, and he'll have plenty of money and be very fond of travel, and we'll go all over the world together, but have a house in London.
And what about poor Newlingham?
Oh, Mother, I couldn't possibly spend the rest of my life here. I'd die. Oh. But you shall come and stay with us in London, and we'll give parties so that people can come and stare at my sister, Kay Conway, the famous novelist.
And what about your brother Robin, the famous, famous something or other, you bet your life.
You don't know what you're going to do yet, Robin.
Well, give me a chance. I've only been out of the Air Force about 12 hours. Mm. But by jingo, I'm going to do something. And none of this starting at the bottom of the ladder business either. This is the time when young men get a chance, and I'm going to take it. You watch.
Well, don't tell me you're going to run away from Newlingham, too.
Well, I might make a start here, but I don't guarantee to take root in Newlingham. No fear. Don't be surprised, Hazel, if I'm in London before you, or even before you, Kay. Oh. I'm making plenty of money. Perhaps more than this tall, good-looking chap of yours will be making, Hazel. Oh, yes.
Hazel will always have plenty of money.
How do you know, Carol?
I just do. It came over me suddenly then.
Well, now. I thought I was the prophetic one of the family. I suppose it wouldn't be fair if I sent my rival to bed.
I should jolly well think it wouldn't. And I'll tell you another thing. Alan's the happy one.
Good old Alan.
I rather think you're wrong there, you know, Carol.
I'm not. I know.
Now, I'm not going to have this. I'm the one who knows in this family. Wait a minute. Yes. I see, Robin. Dashing about, making lots of money, and becoming very important, and helping some of you others. And a very devoted young wife by his side. And Hazel. Yes, Hazel, of course, being very grand. And her husband is tall, and quite good-looking, nearly as good-looking as she thinks he is. I believe he comes into a title.
Nob.
I don't see Madge marrying. But then she'll be headmistress of a big school quite soon, and then she'll become one of these women who are on all sorts of committees and have to go up to London to give evidence. And so becomes happy and grand in that way.
Yeah, I bet she will too, good old Madge.
And then there's Carol. Well, of course, Carol will be here with me for years yet.
I don't know about that. I haven't exactly decided what to do yet. There are so many things to do.
Oh, Carol, I think you could go on the stage.
Yes, I could, of course. And I've often thought of it. But I shouldn't want to be on the stage all the time. And when I wasn't playing a part, I'd like to be painting pictures. Just for myself, you know, daubing like mad with lots and lots and lots of the very brightest paint. Tubes and tubes of vermilion and royal blue and emerald green and gamboge and cobalt and Chinese white. And then making all kinds of weird dresses for myself. And scarlet cloaks and black crepe de chine gowns with orange dragons all over them. Oh, and cooking. Yes, doing sausages and gingerbread and pancakes. And sitting on top of mountains and going down rivers on canoes. And making friends with all sorts of people. And I'd share a flat or a little house with Kay in London, and Alan would come to stay with us and smoke his pipe. And we'd talk about books and laugh at ridiculous people and then go to foreign countries.
Oh, no, steady!
Where are you going to begin doing all that, you ridiculous child?
I get it all in somehow. The point is to live. Never mind about money and positions and husbands with titles and rubbish. I'm going to live.
All right, darling. But wherever you were, all of you, and whatever you were doing,
You'd all come back here sometimes, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah. Just as you are now, playing the same silly old games, all one big happy family. I can see us all here again.
Don't! Don't!
What is it, Kay? Oh, really, Kay, what's the matter?
Helen! Please tell me. I can't bear it. And there's something you could tell me.
I'm sorry, Kay. I don't understand. What is it?
Something you know that would make it different, not so hard to bear. Don't you know yet?
No, I don't understand.
Oh, hurry. Hurry, Alan, and then tell me and comfort me. Something of Blake's came into it. Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul divine. I used to know that verse too. What was it at the end? And when this we rightly know, safely through the world we go. Safely through the world we go.
Overexcitement. I might have known. Kay, darling, all this birthday excitement's been too much. You'd better go to bed now, dear. Carol will bring you some hot milk. Perhaps an aspirin, too, eh? Oh, you're all right now, aren't you, darling?
Oh, yes, Mother, I'm all right.
I know what might help. It did once before. Robin, come with me.
I ought to go, oughtn't I?
No, no. Stay a few minutes, Joan. Robin?
Coming, Mother.
She's going to sing, and I know what it'll be.
Kay?
Yes, Alan.
There will be something I can tell you. One day. I'll try to be wise. I promise.
In Time and the Conways, Mrs. Conway was played by Zena Walker. Barry Shaw was Kay, Sue Jenkins, Hazel, and Joe Dunlop, Allen. Madge was played by Liz Gebhardt, Carol by Jane Hollowood, and Robin by Terence Wilton. Nigel Anthony played Ernest Beavers, Alan Cody, Gerald Thornton, and Christine Welsh, Joan Helford. Time and the Conways was written by J.B. Priestley and directed in Manchester by Caroline Smith.